Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Welcome back. Moolala Money Made Simple is brought to you in part by Credit Canada. I am the CEO of the organization, and we are Canada's longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency. Our mission is to help people get out of debt so they can get back into life. Listen, debt is a brutal reality for millions of Canadians. It starts to pile on for lots and lots of different reasons: job loss, divorce, illness, bad luck, you name it. Our accredited credit counselors are available to help you understand your current financial situation and take you through all your options on how to move forward. And there really are options out there. So go to creditcanada.com. We are nonprofit. As I said, the counseling is free and judgment free. How confident do you feel about your financial literacy skills? I don't know. It's a pretty broad range for Canadians. PC Financial recently conducted a survey for Financial Literacy Month, hooray for that, to see how Canadians feel about their financial future. It found, I don't know, surprisingly, that 3 in 4 Canadian adults are actually confident in their skills. For more on some of these findings, to talk about building financial resilience, I'm joined by certified financial planner Jackie Porter, founder of Team Jackie Porter. I feel like that could be like a t-shirt. Team Jackie Porter. Hello, Team Jackie Porter.
How are you? I missed you.
It has been a long time. It's been a very long time. So I want to ask you, what did you take away from this survey? I have survey fatigue. I get pitched them all the time. Please tell me what you think are the most relevant insights from this one.
You know, I think it's so encouraging that Canadians are feeling more confident. 3 in 4 Canadians are feeling more financially literate. And I think that's maybe a fact of the information age that we're in. You can Google most things now, and the younger generation certainly are more savvy than I am on navigating that, because I found even younger Canadians were way more tech savvy and way more, you know, in tune with understanding financial products, understanding their finances a little bit more. What struck me, though, was, you know, we get a hard C in the industry for only 66% of Canadians actually feeling confident about their future. And, you know, Bruce, there's so much going on right now with all of the uncertainty that we're dealing with around the economy, around job security, around inflation, interest rates, name it. Like, we're in the soup of uncertainty, right? And I think that that's probably an area where we could do better. And then finally, we get like a D, because only 44% of Canadians said that they felt that they had the right tools to help them become more financially literate. And I think, you know, that to me begins and ends with where their money is. And for a lot of people, their money is in a bank. And I think that sometimes with bank accounts and, you know, where you withdraw and deposit, you don't necessarily pay as much attention as you should, and you don't always necessarily have the resources. So I think these are some things that Canadians have to think about is, first of all, you have choices over and above the big banks. You don't have to always deal with the big banks if they're not supporting you on your financially confident journey of, you know, being better with, you know, where your money is and how it's doing. So I think there's lots of tools out there, and some of the tools I love. I'm a huge, you know, rewards points fan. So I love the fact that, you know, PC Financial has tools, apps to make you a lot more financially confident and financially literate. Because ultimately, you need to know not just where your money is, but how your money is doing. What's coming in, what's going out, you know, and I think budgeting is the big word these days, right? Does anybody know how much money they're spending, especially since COVID?
Yeah, a lot since COVID, in part because we think about money in our home differently. And now that the world has started to open up, people are traveling and buying. I think I bought a shirt for the first time in 3 years. It's amazing. I want to include this topic of financial resilience in here, because there's literacy, you know, like ABC, you can understand the words on the page, but then there's something much more difficult to accomplish, and that is the ability to withstand all that life throws at you.
Yes.
How do you think Canadians can improve financial resilience?
Well, I think it starts with, you know, having an honest conversation, because as you said, the spending dragon is back and we're finally able to gather again. And that means being more social and spending more money. And it feels good to spend money, especially with other people now that we can do that. And I think that there's this temptation to spend first and think about it later and not necessarily think about the future. A great example is, you know, we have the holidays coming up, Bruce, which is just in a few weeks. And the temptation to spend has never been greater. But everybody's had holiday hangover when the bills come in January, February. And then you start thinking, can I afford this money I just put on my credit card? And interest rates have gone up, cost of living has gone up, you know, job security, who knows? Do I have an emergency fund? So I think the resilience starts with, you know, first of all, looking where what you're doing with your money, doing a budget. And if you've got tools that can facilitate that, if you have, you're dealing with a bank that can, you know, show, help you put a budget together, and you can start to see where your money is going on a weekly, monthly basis on the go, it can inform you about your financial decisions and maybe veer you away from making financial mistakes as you go along, right? Because the worst thing is to get to the end of the month and realize, oh my goodness, I've overspent and now I've got money on a credit card because I don't know how much money came in, I don't know how much money went out, and now I'm struggling to figure out how I'm going to pay for the credit card.
What are some of your tips that would enable people to stretch their dollar further? Inflation is ridiculous. Interest rates are so much higher. What are some things that you would
I would say start with, you know, that one of the silent killers, going back to the banks for a second, check how much you're spending on things like banking fees. Have you ever seen that notification that you get sometimes by email or in the mail where it says our banking rates have changed? Change normally means
more. But is that really worth your time? Because I'll be a contrarian here. I don't care about banking fees. I do not care about banking fees. I want a convenient experience. And the reason I don't care is the dollars simply don't add up to anything compared to me buying a second shirt. So I bought that one shirt. If I were to buy a second shirt, that would in all likelihood exceed the banking fees that I would pay it over the course of months, maybe even a year.
It depends, because it all depends on the kind of bank setup you have. If you have a certain amount of money in your account, you may not pay banking fees, and 30, 40 bucks a month in banking fees add up to what could be, you know, money.
A really nice shirt. Okay,
yeah, so banking really
fees,
nice.
I don't know. Banking fees to me is the whole latte myth. I don't really buy it. So give me another one and then I'll judge it. I'll judge the next one you have.
So 30, 40 bucks a month adds up and it could
be. Who pays that?
You'd be surprised. People don't look. And it all depends on the kind of banking setup you have and what you started paying and what you're paying now. So I'm just saying, pay attention.
All right.
Number two is those subscriptions. It's all the things that add up silently that you're not looking at. Those subscriptions that you might have done over COVID, you know, the Netflix and the Shopify, you know, that Shopify, the Spotify, you know, and all of the music subscriptions that you just kind of let, you know, the fact that you had things come to your house, the Amazon Prime, all of these things, again, they silently add up. And this might be money you don't even realize that you're spending, and it's just gone. And you kind of think, could that money have been put away somewhere else that would have given me peace of mind? Because again, this is your money. Is that where you want it to go? Is that the best use of your finances right now as we're dealing with uncertainty? This is your money. You decide how you want to put it to work.
What is one practical behavior that you walk the talk on when it comes to your money? Go.
Rewards. I absolutely love getting money on money I actually spent money on. Like, so if I can make the money I spend make me money, that's to me the best use of my resources ever. Because then at least gives me money to splurge on. That's not money I had to work for.
Do you pay your credit cards off in full every single month?
100%. 100%. Okay, do not let, this is why we started off talking about the budget, because I think if people don't do the math to see, especially because of COVID, you might have been spending less while you were at home with our finances in lockdown, and now you're spending more. But do you know how much more? How can you actually have any serious conversation about your finances without having this money conversation with yourself, even if you're doing it on the back of a napkin?
I'm glad you clarified, because one of the things that makes me nuts about the rewards conversation is that people are so obsessed with them that they forget that they need to pay off their credit card in full every month before they do everything. And I talk to a lot of people who are giddy about the rewards they earn and pay zero attention to that outstanding balance.
No, you start with how much you're spending, and then you put that money that you're spending to work to make you money. It's all about OPM, other people's money.
Ooh, how much OPM? All yeah. right. OPM,
how much of
it.
Other people's money can I use? Because at the end of the day, I can only work so many hours a day. I can only work so hard. So right. Put my money that I'm spending to work. But the other part of it we were talking about with Christmas coming and being resilient is make a plan, right? With money that you're spending mindlessly. We talked about subscriptions, we talked about bank fees, and put that in an investment account, put that in an emergency fund, put that towards your future. Because if you're just spending in the moment, keep in mind that the future comes faster than you think. Like I said, that January bill, like if you start spending and you don't have like a spending plan for like things like Christmas. You get to December 24th and you're in the store. And you're using your credit card and it's all emotion and everything means something. You have to buy that thing from Matt because you're going to...
Oh my gosh, Jackie, I wish we had more time. We've got to wrap it up there. You've got me anxious about Christmas shopping. Thankfully, I have like two people on my list and that's it. We've completely eradicated gift giving in my family with two exceptions and I'm grateful for it. Now, Christmas eating, on the other hand, is unlimited, unrestricted. Jackie, thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure. So plan ahead, folks.
Plan ahead. Jackie Porter, certified financial planner and founder of Team Jackie Porter.
Hi, it's me, your dad. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.